Hello, listeners. We're back. This is Beaches. I have a very, very cool person with me. This is Emilio, and he is helping work a... You work for a company that manages Bitcoin ATMs. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. This company was started in early 2014. Right now, we have our first ATM produced by Project Skyhook out of Portland, Oregon. This is the first open source Bitcoin ATM, and it's under $1,000, which is awesome. What's going on?
We're having technical difficulties. These things have been pretty much running for 3 days straight, so I think they're probably a little tired.
Okay.
As we all are, actually, probably.
I am very tired.
So this is your first hope, right?
Yes. Okay. I was hoping to go to the last one 2 years ago, but I didn't make it out. I had a big project that I was working on.
What was the big project?
It was a big project.
If you can't talk about it, that's cool.
Yeah, that's
cool.
That's all right.
Okay. All right. So back to the subject at hand. So you guys manage... So what is the name of your company? Can you tell us that?
It's PYC. It's not anything awesome, but it is almost like the Python extension. but it's my last name and Julio's last name. So we're the co-founders of the company.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome. Okay, so when did you guys get into Bitcoin? Why did you decide that you wanted to start managing Bitcoin ATMs?
Well, the idea first started when I was struggling to pay my rent. And I was like, wow, Bitcoin is so volatile. I can almost predict the market and make a ton of money. So I invested the money I had left, and pretty soon I was getting like 30% returns and I was paying my rent. So it was great. I wasn't losing money and I wasn't broke, which was fun.
Yeah. Not being broke is awesome.
Yes.
Okay. So, you were originally started, so you didn't, at that point, with your money, you were just trading Bitcoin?
Yeah, I was trading it. So I was meeting up with people at like a coffee shop, and they were purchasing Bitcoin for cash.
Okay, yeah, I've heard about those. I don't know.
Yeah, I was on
isn't that a legal gray area?
Well, it wasn't at the time, but I stopped doing it once it was established that it was kind of a little bit in the gray area. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So now you've gotten into... So when did you guys learn about Skyhook and their ATMs?
So we learned about it, I think, in February of this year.
Okay.
It was a great project because I was like, wow, this is the first open source Bitcoin ATM. All the other ones were proprietary, closed source, which is a little worrying, especially when I lost my life fortune in a Mt. Gox.
I had a friend that had that happen, too.
Yeah, it was really disappointing because it was going to kickstart our business. But thankfully, my mom was able to bail us out with her retirement.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ouch, that's no good.
Yeah.
So how does this work? So you guys manage the ATMs, right?
Yeah, we facilitate the cash flow. So we purchase the Bitcoin from different exchanges throughout the world. Hopefully not like Mt. Gox. But thankfully, we transfer the Bitcoin out for the exchanges as soon as we buy them.
Okay,
so
there
won't be any money sitting on these accounts like I had last time.
Yeah, that's. I think a lot of people, so like when Adafruit says that they take Bitcoin, what they're really doing is immediately selling it for the value on the exchanges. And then, so Adafruit just gets money, but you spend Bitcoin. At least that's my understanding of it. If Lady Ada or Phil or anybody's listening and wants to correct me on that, shoot me an email, I guess. You can, it's radio@hope.net. Actually, that will email everybody, but you could still do that. That'd still be cool. Okay, so how exactly do the ATMs work? So people, what, come up with a credit card or a cash, and they put cash in and get Bitcoin out, or are they doing Bitcoin in and getting cash out?
So it's only one way. It's cash to Bitcoin.
Okay.
Wouldn't accept any credit cards ever. Hopefully never. But it's just a very simple process to instantly buy Bitcoin. And if it's under $500, mm-hmm. $500 or less actually, then they don't have to sign up with, they don't have to verify their identity, which is awesome.
So why, if it's over $500, so if you do that extra $1, why suddenly do you have to register, like actually verify your identity?
Well, we're just going on the safe side. It's actually supposed to be 1,000, but we want to be a little bit more safe. Better safe than sorry, I guess.
But that's a legal requirement?
It is a legal requirement. FinCEN is actually, we're a money services business registered with FinCEN.
Right.
So anything over 1,000, we do need to report the name. We need to have a record of the name of the person who purchased that. We don't actually have to report anything, but we just have to have them on file.
Yeah, just in case. Oh, so, you know, if somebody needs to come back, look in time, look at those transactions. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So it's like an anti-money laundering procedure.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Okay, so you guys manage these things, and so what, you guys just swing by if there's a, do you guys have any cool reporting tools? If there's an issue, that it'll send you like a text message or
it
what?
It will. There's a great feature that if there is some kind of an error with a connection and a client does put in money, mm-hmm. it sends us an error log directly to an email that we have set up.
Okay. So that actually, that's really cool.
Yeah.
So you guys just go and you clean out the money to make sure it doesn't get overfilled.
Exactly.
And make sure that if there's an error, that gets sorted out.
Exactly. Yeah, I do that every day since it's right now we have an ATM in Albany, mm-hmm. and that's at a coffee shop, and it's right by my work actually. So I only have to walk 2 blocks away, and I pick up the money every day, and I head over to back to my house.
Awesome. Yeah. That sounds actually pretty nice.
Yeah.
So is this your full-time job? Are you guys doing this full-time, or is this just an extra way? Like, do you have something else that you do while doing this?
I work for the ITS department for New York State.
Okay.
But I'm leaving at the end of the summer and going to be doing this full-time.
Awesome. That's actually really cool.
Yeah.
So, you guys are only really doing like the New York area?
We're trying to go all throughout the United States.
Okay.
But so far we just decided to do Albany since it's a great test bed, since it's right by my job. And we can kind of gauge what kind of volume we might see in other smaller cities as well.
Okay. So you are putting these, you don't like have your own spaces, and it's not like banks where banks have an ATM in front of their own stuff. You are putting them into other people's businesses, right?
Yes.
So what's in it for the businesses that host you guys?
So Coffee Time at Hellas Bakery is the business that we have it currently in Albany.
Mm-hmm.
Before, they didn't have much business at all. And once we put that Bitcoin ATM in their business, a lot of foot traffic started happening. And people that buy Bitcoin were also buying coffees and bagels and other Greek pastries as well. So it was the top news story for the local stations as well. So a lot of people are actually visiting the business, so it's actually helping it to survive.
Okay, so you guys only have just the one right now as a test?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, just one for now, but we're looking to release one in next week in Queens and in Flushing.
Okay, so Queens and Flushing. Where exactly? Do you guys have a location picked out yet, or is that still under wraps?
We do, but we still have to sign the contract. So
okay.
I can't release anything yet.
All right, that's perfectly understandable. Yeah. Okay, so, is there anything else that you think people need to know about Bitcoin, or the Bitcoin ATMs that you guys are helping roll out?
Well, it definitely helps these, local businesses, because if you think about it, the coffee shop, they might sell a $2 coffee, and if someone pays in credit card, that's an initial 30 cents between 20 to 30 cents that processing credit card processing company is charging them, plus an additional 3%. So it actually takes a big hit if people are using credit cards for just buying coffee. That's probably why a lot of the businesses only accept cash for certain amounts, and then if it's over $10, then you can use your credit card.
Which I think technically they're not supposed to do that in the contract, but I'm not a dick about it to people. I usually just like, oh, I need to buy. Okay, I'll buy more stuff.
Right, right, right. It's
because, you know, I don't want to like run businesses out of business. That sucks.
Yeah, that's not good. A lot of those smaller transactions, it does take a big cut. Like, that's like 20% on a coffee. So 20% is very large if this is happening all the time.
So, sorry about that.
Oh, no worries.
people are using the credit cards less at the businesses because they already have cash because they're putting it into Bitcoin. Is that what
exactly? So the business is actually offering a 10% discount because it actually is such a huge cut that the credit card companies are taking away from them. So 10% discount, and we're selling a little bit over market price, but the customer is still making out well, and the business is making out well, so everyone wins.
Okay, so are the businesses taking Bitcoin then as payment for coffee?
Exactly, yep.
Oh, that's actually really cool.
Yeah, he also takes Litecoin and Dogecoin as well.
Yeah. I love Dogecoin.
Yeah.
I love how Dogecoin, like, it's started as a joke. Like, somebody's like, Dogecoin, let's just do it. And then I think they sponsored like a stock car.
Oh, yeah, the
and
NASCAR
then they
car.
Did, yeah, they did yeah. a stock car. And then I think, were they the ones that did sent the Jamaican bobsled team
yes,
to the Olympics?
They did. Isn't that cool?
It's so awesome. And it's just, it's Dogecoin. It's a joke.
I know. The community is so friendly for Dogecoin. I wish Bitcoin was the same way. But I guess, I don't know, different personalities.
Yeah. I mean, I think when things start as a joke, people are a little more lighthearted and nicer, whereas everybody's like serious business, then, you know, they're I think they get a little bit more angry easily.
That's
like,
true.
Stop joking around. This is serious business. And it's like, no, just chill out, man. It's okay.
Yeah.
You can make jokes.
Exactly.
All right. So let's switch gears a little bit. So this is your first hope.
Right.
You're currently sitting over right by the elevators, right next to security, next to a Project Skyhook ATM, right?
Yes.
But have you been doing that all weekend? Or
we have. I wish I had seen some of the talks, but I did get to see some of them, just not all of the ones I wanted to. But it's all right.
Okay, yeah. But I'm glad that you got to see some talks, because some people will come here and they'll work on a project and then that's all that they do.
Yeah, that could be a little disappointing. But I'll see the recordings for the ones I did want to see, but I didn't get a chance to.
Are you going to go buy the DVDs upstairs, or are you going to wait later to, or how do you want to do that?
Well, last time when I missed the last Hope 9, I just downloaded them all on Pirates Bay.
Okay, yeah, that's fair enough. Fair enough. All right, so did you get to take any workshops or
Hub on 6? I didn't. I really wanted to do a lock picking one because I haven't, and I was really interested in that.
Yeah.
But apparently the lock on the Skyhook machine is very, very, very hard to pick.
I would hope so.
Yeah. So that was really reassuring when the guys over at Tool told me that.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. No, Tool's great.
Yeah.
I should probably go hassle them and be like, dude, get on the radio now. Come on. We had them on, I think, last time. And they're great. I think lock sport in general is really interesting. I don't know if you heard about this. So some people will take like locks on and lock them onto bridges with like their names, like, so instead of defacing a tree, they'll like deface a lock and then they'll put it on there and then like lose the key. So it's like, you know, Becky Hart Tony, and then they close it, which is really cool, right? Except that you know, people, I think it's called like, can you bring it up?
I think I've seen that. Is it on a bridge?
Yeah, like on a bridge. I think it happens in other places too, but I think the bridge is the big one.
Okay.
Because I think they wanted to clean off the bridge because there's like hundreds upon hundreds of locks.
Wow.
And so, and I hope I'm not talking out of my ass. I'm pretty sure this is the thing that happened. But so what ended up happening is normally when you don't have the key to a lock, you have to cut it. But these are like people's personal, like they went and they bought a lock and they like, you know, put a personal message of love and hope. Yeah, locks of love bridge in Paris evacuated after railing collapses. Oh, that's
terrible.
Not good. That's a scary headline. But I think what they ended up doing is some people who are into lock sport started like picking the locks, and then they moved them to someplace else made specifically, like they set aside a place specifically for this, which is really cool.
That is really awesome. So I guess it's the best of both worlds. They're not really cutting it off, but they're moving it to help protect the bridge so it doesn't collapse.
Yeah, I think that's what that is. If anybody...
Railing, I guess. Not the whole bridge, obviously, because those can support many, many, many tons.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed, guys. Fingers
right?
crossed. Yeah, no, I feel you. I wanted to do the FOIA, the Freedom of Information Act, basics on, like, I think it was on Friday, and I was here.
Oh, yeah, see.
I want to get my file. I'm sure that I have a nice big thick one. Okay, so I'm glad you've been having a good time at Hope so far.
Thank you.
It sounds like your company's really starting to is it, oh, you know, I have a question for you actually.
Sure.
So what legal considerations? Like, this sounds like, so Bitcoin is technically not like a currency, it's a property that you own?
Yeah, yeah. So the IRS defined that, I think it was in February or March.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so that's, it's a almost like a commodity in terms of capital gains that you have to report on your taxes.
Yes.
But statewide, it's different. So Texas actually doesn't recognize it as a form of money at all.
Uh-huh.
And I believe Kansas and Missouri are the same.
Okay.
Also for New Mexico and South Carolina, you can have a Bitcoin ATM without registering at all.
Well, that's cool.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Those will be the next states you guys move into, right?
Maybe, actually.
Okay, so what legal considerations, though? Is there a lot of paperwork to make sure that you guys have dotted your I's, crossed your T's?
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of paperwork. Currently, we don't have much because Albany, we've had 62 transactions, but they've all been low enough that we don't really need to document too much.
Okay. Yeah, so I don't know. That would be my chief worry. So you guys want to take over the states and do all of them, I assume?
Yes, hopefully all of them, yep.
Okay, that sounds great. Do you guys have a website or any way that people can contact you?
PYCBitcoin.com.
So no dashes or anything, just PYCBitcoin.com.
Yep.
And do you guys have like an info at PYC?
Yes, there's the location where you can find the ATM in Albany.
Okay.
And then we'll be putting all the other locations as well. If you want an ATM close to where you live, fill out the form and we'll see if we can find a business to host an ATM over there.
Awesome. Well, that sounds great. Is there anything else that you want to talk about before we sign off?
I hope Bitcoin goes well.
I hope so too.
Yes.
Did we ever get any? Did anybody have any questions before we go? No. Okay, that's okay. I'm sure everybody's idling.
Cool.
All right. Well, it was a pleasure having you on.
Thank you.
And I hope you have a good rest of the conference and that you get to do something enjoyable. Like you don't have.
Oh yeah, I hope
the loadout isn't that bad.
We hope we get
you
to see some talks today.
Awesome.
Thanks
a lot,
Peaches.
All right, well, it's great having you.
Thank you.
All right, bye.